Hello, and thanks again for joining us for the latest edition of the RWT, the Red Wine Therapist. Here with me tonight is Ms. Leah, if you nasty.
This is not going to be that movie where we're friends with Ben's and we fall in love. That's just not
our sexpert extraordinaire, Shantae.
They're having sex with each other, they're rubbing their gigis, and it feels good.
The ever-alluring Allison.
Oh, it hurts so good. That's what I say at Pilates all the time.
Jeremy, the man, the myth, the legend.
Who is there? I mean, we're talking about wine and fucking, right?
No Oscar tonight, but we'll miss him desperately. And we'd like to tip our glasses to our lovely guest, Rob McCullum. We're only accepting tweets tonight, and as always, we want your input. So hit me up. I'm Artist the Producer, and let's get started.
Oh, yes! Love it. Tonight we're talking about, should you be friends with your ex? And our guest tonight, Rob McCullum, has an interesting situation in that he is divorced and he has a very close relationship with his ex-wife, but he's also dating. And so we want to talk about being really close with your ex and how that affects your dating life. Love, sex, wine, for me, is sex. But it's not sex that I've been having. I'm talking about other people's sex lives.
Okay! I love women.
I know. I wish I was having more sex. But anyway, there's this website that I think everybody should check out. It's called makelovenotporn.com. And so the really cool thing about this site is that it talks about real life sex versus porn sex. Because a lot of times people get false ideas about what sex is supposed to be like.
Yes.
You know, like facials, or, you know, that all sex should be that kind of raunchy or dirty or whatever. Also, the interesting thing about the site is that you can upload your own movies. So you get to see real people.
No!
Real people having real sex. And so you can upload if you choose to do so, or you can pay like $5 and you get unlimited viewing.
MakeLoveNotPorn.com.
Yes.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
Mine's about sex.
Ooh.
But nothing. It's just funny. I had to dress up in a Wonder Woman costume today.
Oh.
So I sent the picture to my husband, and he was like, are you bringing that costume home? And I thought, maybe he likes costumes. Uh-huh. Maybe I should try it.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you going to?
Maybe. Like, Shantae, what do you do, though? Like, maybe I should ask Leah, too. Like, dress in a costume, and then what do you do?
Oh, I don't do costumes.
No? Really?
Yeah.
It's a role-playing thing. I mean, you get into it. You're Wonder Woman.
Like, do I have a script for myself?
Well, if that makes you feel comfortable.
I told you guys that I was going to try out hanging
out
with my friend, my not even friend, with Ben. So I did that, and it was as uneventful as I figured it would be. Mm. I liked him as a friend. It's one of those things where if we had just met and we were just talking about whatever,
yeah,
then I'd be like, all right, you're cool. You're a cool dude.
I can get with you.
But it made me a little bit less interested.
You don't have sex with him anymore.
No. That's confusing for
me. Isn't
that
weird?
Well, because you're able to have sex with someone you don't know.
I should probably have a one-on-one with Shantae about this, but no, it's true. Like, I can either have sex with absolutely no feeling whatsoever, or it can be complete 100% emotional.
But still, you like it, both? Like, you must like sex a lot.
Okay. I'm a fan. Jeremy, what's up?
How much time do we have? Because my shit hit the fan.
So
go.
Same drama, same chick.
No!
Just longer. Instead of, hey, I'm drunk, come give me a drunk booty call, and then we'll talk in the morning and it'll be dramatic.
Yeah.
It was, hey, I'm drunk, and I don't like my friends, so come hang out with me. So that turned into, of course, the standard protocol of, we both get drunk, go back to her place, fool around, spend the night, wake up. But before I had to talk. It's like, I'm not having that talk again. So we can do whatever you want, but we're not doing that dance anymore. We text a little bit throughout the day, Monday, and then she wants me to come over to her house Monday night. So I go over there Monday night just to help her run lines, to kind of feel out this whole friend switch gear thing that we were discussing the night before, we fucked around. Anyway, so I leave, we talk a little bit. I don't know what I want. She's having this life crisis, and I'm like, Tuesday comes, and we text again, and I end up taking her out, kind of what turned into be a date.
Oh.
We go to Joe T's, which is awesome, get drunk on margaritas, go back to her house, fool around again. Oh, but the coup de grace.
Oh.
I kind of wanted to get this out of the way before our guest started talking. The coup de grace, Thursday night, she starts texting me at like midnight because she's drunk again. But she, anyway, she was all upset already, so she wants me to come over at like 2:30 in the morning to talk. So at 2:30 in the morning, I drive over to her house. She's bawling, like she's an emotional wreck, train wreck.
I'm all, well, let's talk. You walked into that, wow.
Yeah, I'm all, well, let's talk. She's having this existential life crisis. She doesn't know what she wants in life. She's having all these dark thoughts that are really dark that she doesn't want to think about. I'm all, well, okay, you know, I'm doing the usual friend walkthrough, you know, with this kind of situation.
Suicide.
And then she starts bawling about this fucking dude she dated for 2 weeks, how she thought she knew how to read people, and she really, and she, he hurt her really bad. And I'm like, and I just kind of let out this, I guess, typical sigh I'm known for. She's like, what, are you mad? I'm all, yeah, kind of. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not the guy to call over to talk about some guy doing something to you that, A, I never would or did do to you, and B, really? I mean, I'm the only one? So she kept freaked out on that. That pissed her off because I was just there to be a friend, I guess.
I hate her. I don't like her.
So our first line tonight is turning leaf. That was appropriate because once you decide to switch from a relationship to friends, you turn a new leaf. Yeah.
Such a joke.
I already did it.
It's a fantasy.
I already did it. So what do you think of this turning leaf?
It's full bodied.
Mm-hmm. It's delish.
I'm on this wine. Well, I'll tell you. Turning Leaf is 2008 Merlot series. It's a full-flavored, full-bodied wine with tastes of oak, vanilla, and apple.
Sounds great.
Does it sound great?
Uh-huh.
And dark berries.
I want to turn over a new leaf to a new wine.
Right.
Nailed it!
Real quick, I don't like turning leaf. It's a little too sweet for Merlot. I like Merlot's a little thicker and a little heavier and with a little more balls in it. Yeah.
I like things a little bit sweeter, so it actually works for me.
Alright, so our topic tonight is, can you be friends with your ex? ... and still have a successful dating life.
People ask the question and the definitive answer is, it depends. Should you be friends with your ex or not? It depends. Depends on the relationship.
Jeremy, no.
So I would say, the way to note that you probably aren't going to be friends with your ex is, if your relationship was fraught with drama throughout the entire relationship, then the chances of you being really good friends are going to be probably very, very slim. It's a lot of times, if there's just too much emotion, if the relationship was toxic, one of those relationships where the person brings things out of you that you normally wouldn't do, then you need to just cut your losses and move on. If you and this person have gotten together and broken up several times, if you've kind of been in and out, probably not a good person to be friends with either. You know, if there's just a lot of baggage in the relationship. If there's been any type of abuse, physical, mental, emotional, please do not be friends with this person. Even if they've maybe gotten counseling and they've turned a new leaf, it's just too fraught with baggage that I don't think it would go well. Oh, sorry. And the other thing is, if you still have feelings for the person, like any inkling of feeling, don't go there. Because if you're kind of maybe thinking like, oh, well, I'll just be friends with them because maybe they'll come around and they'll come to their senses. You're just setting yourself up. So, but say you do have a good relationship. Maybe the sex was just not that good or whatever, but you still have you had a good foundation. You really generally got along well. You just couldn't make it work. My tips for that would be, one, make sure you give yourself enough time between the time you break up and the time you decide you want to be friends. So give yourself a few months before you start hanging out and being all buddy-buddy.
Mm-hmm.
You need some time to mourn. You need some time to let the relationship, you know, let yourself heal and all of those things. So try to, you know, give yourself some time. If you are going to start maybe hanging out together again, do group things. Don't do things just by yourselves. I think, again, that kind of sets up the environment where maybe you can kind of start moving toward, you know, a relationship and things like that. So do group activities together, hang out with you. Maybe if you still have mutual friends, do that kind of thing. If your ex has a new partner, befriend the partner. And then if they are with someone that you're not being judgmental about their partner, you're not interfering in their relationship at all, You just need to step on back from that. Do not get in that, because it's going to make your friendship very difficult. Say you guys don't have feelings, you feel like you're pretty safe, that that's not an option. You can have a safe word that you can have between you two. So for example, if one or the other of you does start to have feelings, you need to cut it off right then. You can maybe have your safe word. So it's Popeye, it's whatever.
And pineapple.
It's
like,
pineapple. and then that's when you know, okay, we need to go ahead and cut it off, because somebody's getting feelings and it can make things complicated. Don't have sex. Do not have sex. If you want to be friends, do not have sex.
Whatever.
Oh, and don't go around, if you are, you know, trying to work on a friendship, don't rehash past shit. Mm-hmm. Don't go back over what went wrong. Don't play the blame game.
Whoa, we didn't do that.
This is just a checklist for Jeremy.
But we did get drunk and have sex.
You're basically doing everything wrong. So those are my tips. That's my perspective on it. And so like I said, I do think it is possible to do it. It just kind of has to be the right conditions. And you got to make sure you're taking care of yourself.
My personal thoughts on this are, for whatever reason, I'm going to try to stick with my ex. The rule that I don't follow, I think, is waiting. My logic for this has always been, there was a reason that we were together for so long. I mean, there's positive aspects of that.
Of course.
And just because the relationship changed doesn't mean this person is no longer somebody that I get along with. It's just we no longer get along in that way.
Right.
So that's why I've always been a fan.
I can't do it. No. Mm-mm. Can't do it.
Have friends at all?
No. There's too much sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need a clean break. Cause I just cannot do it. Every time I've tried to be, friendly, I just end up getting back together with my ex.
Yeah.
If my husband, if we were to go our separate ways, he's so wonderful that maybe I would want to be friends, but I think I would be too hurt, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I would be holding on to stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just can't do it, Jeremy.
Listen, it's real easy. No. After going through that whole list, described, it's like, why bother? Don't you have enough fucking friends? You know, I have my own agenda as well.
Yeah.
Okay. I am a guy, you know. It's like, I went into this entire situation of the other week wanting to get what I wanted to get.
Yeah, but it took kind a of lot. Before,
it did. That's my point. To get it's back. Like, why bother?
Yeah.
Only to have it end up in, it's like, I can play the friend, but what we talked about before is like, I don't want to hear about your tragedy of dating or whatever. It's like, we can have some sort of relationship, because we were compatible and we did have a lot in common and we did get along. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I don't want to hear about this, and I don't want to hear about this, and you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is kind of crazy, because I was in a unique place to give her some great advice about it, because it happened to me.
Is your objective to get back together or just have sex?
I don't know. I was just kind of feeling it out, keeping my emotional investment at bay.
It seems like you wanted to get back, because you've done this multiple
times.
I
got suckered in before, and then we had the drum.
You let
and
yourself
like,
get suckered.
But that was twice.
Twice
before, and now
she hit me with that. I don't know. It's like the regret morning talk, and it's like, let's leave that out. If you're gonna regret it, great, but I'm gonna go.
Well, she's already showed you that she's going to regret it if you have sex with her. So why do it twice?
Why put yourself?
And then you said the sex wasn't like all that.
I know you did. You straight up said she was never that good at it anyway. That was
it's better than know that. You know, as an N-O.
Is it really?
Well, I mean,
see, I always say bad sex. I'd rather have no sex than bad sex.
Really?
I mean, honestly.
I just don't agree. I mean, I would never be friends with my ex-wife, because she doesn't deserve it. By the time you're ready to be friends with that person, it's who fucking cares?
Right.
You know, you don't need to be friends with
so
that person.
So moved on at that point. Yeah.
So it's like, why do that? In fact, Leah is the only friend I know that actually puts an effort into trying to be friends with them. So she's the enigma.
Oh, as far as me personally, no. I'm like Allison. You know, I don't really do the whole friends with exes thing. Once I'm done with you, I'm done. Once you're done with me, you're done. So there's no, I don't want to chit-chat about the weather.
Not even later?
No.
No, it's too, for me, the relationships that I've had is too much. I can't do it. Now, I've had friendships with guys I've dated, like, you know, just for a little bit, you know, or quick, you know, like maybe a couple dates or whatever, and then we've ended up becoming friends. That's different than, like, someone you've had feelings for, someone you've been vulnerable with, someone you, right. you know, uh-uh. No.
Let me
somebody,
go the other way.
Someone I've had sex with, no.
Can you be friends, but in a just fuck buddy friends with an ex?
After
really,
some time.
How much time?
I think it would have to be a lot of time for me.
When it doesn't matter. When it doesn't matter if you are your friend, if you sleep together or not.
I'm friends with an ex that I was with for a long time, and we're really good friends. Mm-hmm. But I could never go back and have sex with, I mean, I wouldn't, obviously, but I would never be able to go back and have sex with someone that I don't have feelings for anymore. I would be too nervous that I would.
Mm. I think maybe because I've always, my relationships have just ended because it was time. Nothing terrible ever happened. The guys that I'm friends with, they're good people. It was just time to transition.
Which, as a Capricorn, I don't understand.
I had sex with an ex of mine last year, and it was just so random. But we hadn't dated, for like 7 years.
Oh, okay.
And so it was one of those things where we're besties, and we literally got drunk, had sex, high-fived, laughed about it, and then it never happened again, and it was fine.
Hmm.
And we're still good
friends.
I set him up on with his last girl that he dated.
But do you look at him, like, every time you see him, you don't see him
sexually?
Naked?
No, not anymore, because it's been so long.
But even after you had sex with him, though.
Mm-mm. It was just kind of high-five, dude.
And that was it.
It was fine. It honestly did not matter if it ever happened again. And I think that is the only way that it's healthy.
So we're going to talk about layer cake.
That one's actually really good. Yeah.
And we thought that was appropriate because, you know, relationships have so many different layers. And so we thought that kind of fit in perfectly. I'm not a fan of the layer cake. It's a little too, even though I like sweet wines, there's like this weird sweet aftertaste at the end of it that I don't like. And then it like went down my throat like real hard.
I thought it was okay. I prefer them a little bit more tannic. I think this one was trying to get there and it stopped a little short.
You sounded smart.
You really did.
We're talking about the pros and cons of being friends with exes. Is it a good idea or should you let the past stay in the past? Our guest tonight says his ex-wife is actually his best friend. They've been very successful raising 2 children together and still functioning as a family, even though they have been divorced for 7 years. He was just announced as Raker in Attack on the Titan. He's Axon in Borderlands 2. You can hear his voice on several animated series, commercials, and with me in a questionable party game toy called Bop It. Welcome to the RWT, Rob McCollum.
Yay!
Google him.
Okay.
It's actually Riker.
Okay, thank Riker. You. I was looking, I was confused, I had no idea. Thank you for correcting me. So we already know how long you were married for seven. No, we don't know how long you were married. How long were you married?
Married for 8 years.
And then now divorced for 7.
Now divorced for 7.
Okay. What was the moment like when you realized you and your ex are better as friends?
Well, that definitely took a while. Like, there was a lot of coming out the other side that had to happen first. But we were in a different situation because we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just choose to not interact. So there was a couple of years of figuring out what the new dynamic was.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a couple of years, I think it was kind of just the conscious decision, this is going to be a lot easier if we call a truce and move on.
Who is the one that started the wanting to be divorced?
It was not my idea.
Okay.
Which is actually different. I mean, we talked about this. I've talked about this with other folks, but that's a very different situation because normally it's the dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like when people, I mean, Jeremy understands this. Mm-hmm. People go, oh, you're getting a divorce. What'd you do?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the natural situation. And so being in the position of being the male that was trying to fight for it and trying to put it all back together and spent a couple of years fighting and trying to make work out and then finally realizing that that wasn't going to happen. It's societally, people don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also interesting because normally like the ex is persona non grata with all of the friends and the
right.
people. But because the roles were kind of reversed in that way, I got carte blanche from all of the friends. Like, I could have been arrested with 7 underage strippers in a Walmart parking lot. They would have been like, Rob's getting back out there. That's great.
Okay.
But we were also really lucky that it was just a decision about what worked best. And not like there wasn't some crazy blow up or fighting or infidelity or anything that's like hard to move past. There wasn't as much baggage as a lot of relationships and especially as a lot of divorces have.
Okay, so how did you get to that point though? Happy together, raising our children, but not married.
I guess you fake it till it's true.
Oh.
No, the kids are there, and my kids were really young when it all went down, and so you're putting on the brave face, and you're going over, and you're hanging out, and you're doing family get-togethers, and you're showing up for Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and you put, and then finally you're like, okay, what am I holding on to that's making me fake it, and what's that really doing for me? Because in the beginning it is hard and it's tense and you're running that second monologue in your head, you know, commenting about everything that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of means you're checked out from everything. You're like going through the motions and you're kind of scripting your life instead of being
in
second
it.
Person instead of first person. Mm-hmm. It's a literary reference, Jeremy. You know, you're doing books, writing. Don't worry about
Wait,
it.
Wait, I don't speak Spanish.
We'll move on. So you kind of hit that moment, or at least I kind of hit that moment that, like, okay, I can just let all this pass me by, or I can just decide to get involved.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a huge release. It was kind of great. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, and again, our situation was different from a lot of people because there wasn't a lot of animosity. Everybody was rooting for everyone to be okay, which everyone should do, but not a lot of people do.
That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But it did happen, Jeremy. It did.
The best quote that I ever heard, and I don't know if I came up with this, because I wrote it in a journal.
Okay.
And it was genius, but I feel like I must have ripped it off somewhere. I just don't know.
Well, you're pretty genius, so.
Your best chance at a good future starts when you give up on a better past.
Albert Einstein.
That is good.
Meaning when you stop trying to re-prosecute every past thing to prove who was right and who was wrong.
You know, we talked about that.
You and I gave you that advice.
You did.
I did.
Outside of Funimation, I think.
Yep.
Okay, well, how did you tell your kids? They were little. They were. I read in the D magazine they were like 2 and 4 or 4.
Four and six.
Six, okay. Who told them?
We sat down together. It was very scripted. It was very planned out. We'd even like talked to our therapist friend beforehand and got advice. Because this had been going on for like 6 months before we ever let them know. Like I was moved out and coming back over at like 6 in the morning to get up with them and just still when still trying to work it all out. Like they weren't aware that anything was askew.
Was that your decision to move out or hers?
Yeah.
And then you should have come back. Okay. Oh, okay.
But once we decided it was time to tell them and that it was actually happening, it was just very straightforward. These are the facts. Here's what's happening. I mean, we got really good advice. And at first, it was all about the logistics. Like, dad's getting a new place. You're going to have a new room. You're going to have stuff over there. You have to go see it. It's going to be really cool. But they were fine with it because we weren't screaming at each other. Everybody says it does not matter what you say to your kids. It matters how you are. And if you're a wreck, they're going to be a wreck.
Yeah.
And if you're being honest and saying this is what's happened, they're fine. And what it is we're great parents, we're great friends, and we get along really well. Mm-hmm. That's what that relationship needed to be. And it took a long time to find its like natural resting
point. Well, that would be hard. I mean, that would be hard. You're married. It's a sexual relationship. You've birthed two children. I mean, that would be very hard to then go to friend zone.
That's what we're talking about, sister.
I know.
It's not easy.
What is the friend zone? Like, what does that mean?
Well, it just means somebody's got your back. And knowing that there's somebody there, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's someone that you know that you can call. And they don't have a choice because you have kids together. It's like the father of her children. She can't just, like, not answer the phone. So we're talking
about
So you all get along so well. Why isn't that enough to say, wow, we're actually really great. We figured some stuff out. Let's try this again.
People have asked it one time because we hang out all day. We go on trips together. A lot of the people at our kids' school don't even know that we're divorced because we're always up there doing like things together. We're picking them up together. And they're like, oh, you guys can get back together? And I was like, I would never screw up this relationship by trying to make it something else. Like, I feel like this is one of the healthier relationships I've had in my life now after the fact.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to.
That's good.
But the unique thing is that like the hard part, and back me up if I'm lying here, but the hard part of most relationships is figuring out where it's going and what the objectives are. And are you on the same page? And so to be in a relationship where you know where you stand, you know what the expectations are, and you know where it's going or where it's not, it's like a huge relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How important is it to you, I mean, if you don't have kids with someone you dated, to stay friends with them?
I stay friends with almost everyone I've dated I'm still friends with, but that is just because I am manic about being freaked out if somebody's upset with me. And I'll just talk them to death.
I've been upset with you for 4 years.
Let's
hug it out. Let's high five it out.
No, like I'll make them talk about it until I've resolved the situation. But yeah,
huh?
And but that's also managing expectations. Right. I think when I came out of the other side of this and decided, well, okay, what does it mean to be a divorced guy dating again? It was all about managing expectations. Like, there's like a 4-page document that they have to read before the first date.
Got kids.
Like, you understand, this is not going to be a marriage situation. I'm not looking for that. If you could just initial here, sign here. It's all about managing expectations. But that makes
yes.
it, when and if it doesn't work out or ends,
yeah.
at least nobody's like, well, you...
Right.
You were disingenuous with me.
Do you think that the relationships are, or the friendships post-relationship are strengthened because of the history? Or do you feel like because you know certain things about that person, now there's this wall that you have to kind of...
I think in most situations, there's always a delicate balance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people you've dated, and you see out, like you're on a date, they're on a date, it's like, hey, how are you? You know, but it's always...
Awkward.
Yeah. It's always a little awkward. But if you're lucky, I mean, the way to manage a friendship in that situation is to be able to comment on the awkwardness. Now, whether it's right there in front of the other dates or 2 hours later when
yeah.
you go, oh my God, that was awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Of
right.
all the bars you went to, you know, that to be able to have that conversation is kind of the only way to keep that going. But I think it's beneficial because especially every sphere is a small sphere. You overlap,
yeah.
you run into people. I mean, I'm an actor, for God's sakes. That's a small
pool
in Dallas especially. But, I mean, I guess it's true everywhere, though. If I was a pipe fitter, there would be a certain number of pipe fitters that I would have dated, and it would be awkward.
Do you ever feel any sense of, even though you're friends, any sense of jealousy if you see somebody you dated with someone else? Or
of course.
You
mm-hmm. yeah. No, of course you do. I think you always would. Also, in the Facebook world...
Mm.
And in the Twitter social media world, you can't hide anything from anybody.
Well, do you feel like it's cool that if you're friends with somebody that you've dated, if they ask you for advice, you kind of have probably the best advice they could ask for? Because
oh, yeah.
you've been the dude that they're asking about.
Well, and I find myself in that situation actually a lot. I think just because people that I have dated know they can trust my opinion. And that because I no longer have... a dog in that fight, as we say in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
But they can call and be like, hey, this is what somebody said. Is this a dick move or is this just this? And I can give perspective. So I find myself a therapist for my exes more than a friend
right.
a lot of times. But I don't mind.
So.
Shit's about to get real.
How does this relationship with your ex, how does, you know, having such a close relationship and sharing all these things and vacations and all of this, how does this affect your dating life?
It's definitely an issue and
that's
a factor.
A good question.
It's one of those things that I make sure is kind of out there from the beginning. And also because, like I said, it's a small dating pool. Everybody, I don't meet people usually and start dating people that I haven't known for a while. It's usually
okay.
friends that I'll start dating. So they kind of know the deal ahead of time. But if they don't, I make sure they know like
yeah.
before, so that's not a rude awakening or a surprise later.
Right.
And it's awkward because like as a dad, family time is kind of unassailable. No girlfriend can get pissed off that you're going to spend time with your kids.
Basically, yeah.
The fact
right.
that the ex-wife is also there
mm-hmm.
puts that into a weird gray area, which means maybe they're not that comfortable with it, but there's not comfortable moral high ground to raise a protest.
You're spending too much time with your children.
Yeah.
No one's going to say that.
But,
yeah.
but at the same time, I try to be aware of that because then that puts them in a place where they don't feel like they can say what
yeah.
they're really feeling because they don't think it's justified. And that's
right.
not a fun... That's not a fun place to be in either.
Right.
But it's mostly just laying down the law, like, this is the way it is. And if that's not cool, I get it.
Yeah.
You don't need to wade into this pool.
Have you ever...
Because those are the rules.
Have you ever noticed, like, any competitiveness between, like, your current girlfriend, you know, whoever you're dating, and your ex, like, do they feel like they have to, have you ever seen where you maybe feel like they feel a little threatened by the
or
ex
jealousy.
In a relationship? Or is there
jealousy? I think there's jealousy
either way.
Of the time.
Yeah, either way, because even with your ex.
I don't think it's as so much about the person as the time.
Me.
Like, that's time, you know, hey, can we do this? Something's going on, and no, I can't do that. And I think there's jealousy of that. And it doesn't matter that intellectually, you know, like, oh, but that's important, and I want this person to be doing that. Still, on the inside, you're like, oh, that's something I wanted to do, and it's not happening now because of that. So I think there's that on both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, my ex has been, you know, supportive of me having a life and going on and doing things, but at the same time, like, the kids live with her now full time, and so I'm constantly trying to be a part and help out as much as I can, and when that gets distracted by someone that I'm spending a lot of time with, I notice that tension popping up.
How about as far as her, you know, dating other people, have you kind of had to deal with your own level of jealousy?
That's her story. I can't
okay.
That's, you can interview her. You should have her on. This is actually much
part
more interesting
two.
Guest than I
am. Yeah, right, part two of this. I want to know more about
her
that.
Her choices are her choices.
Okay, I understood. So do you want to date someone seriously? I mean, do you kind of see yourself, I mean, I know you kind of mentioned in passing, like, you know, marriage or things like that wouldn't necessarily be, you know, in your 4-page contract that you're getting these women that you're dating.
It's not. I think I'm not adverse to it, such that if there was a lightning strike. But the other thing also is that, like, I don't see myself ever wanting to have kids. I have that.
Right.
I want. And I see that almost as, like, splitting focus. Like, I'm all in that.
Yeah.
I don't. But at the same time, I wouldn't expect somebody else to settle for that. So there have been times that I've met people that I thought were really special and really important to me. And the more I started to care about them, the more I'm like, you need to find somebody else that can make you first place. Because with me, you're always going to share.
But I mean, what do you, I mean, so you're what, in your 40s, right? Late 30s, early
40s? Barely.
Okay. Are you just never going to be in a serious relationship? Because, I mean, you have a lot of life yet to live, and...
I could totally see myself in a serious committed relationship. I don't know that marriage would ever be a part of that.
Okay. Oh. So you could shack up, maybe? The shack up thing?
But I'm starting to think now the best candidates for that would be someone that also has another life and has achieved some of those goals and is not looking to me to fulfill those
things. Someone who's an older somebody who's like in your somebody who's already had kids, maybe somebody's already married.
Someone's a retirement village, you know.
Over 50 and loving it.
So you haven't met anyone yet that just wants to be with you and your extended family.
I have not introduced anybody to that world yet.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a pretty high threshold.
Okay. Yeah.
To sound like Tinkerbell here.
Tinkerbell.
That take some of the romanticism out of dating anybody? I mean, it's like, because.
Yes.
Well, maybe that would change 4 months down the road or 6 months down the road. I mean, at what point do you allow room for that?
Right.
Because at some point your kids are going to be 18 and
they
don't give a shit about spending time.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. When they're 15.
Where they can drive, they'll be like, Dad, whatever.
Yeah. You do.
First of all, that's never
going to happen. His kids don't age, y'all.
But my situation could totally change. But in terms of relationships to this point, I have felt that it is better to lay that groundwork.
Oh, yeah.
And then if something changes in me, that changes.
Maybe not the first day.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give it time.
I'd rather set the expectation where I believe it needs to be and then be pleasantly surprised or unpleasantly surprised, whatever, than feel like I've misled somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
Relationships are all about guilt management.
Oh.
That's all it is.
But you're also pushing.
And this is for the guys out there. I don't know that there are any guys that actually would listen to a podcast about relationships. But
yes. Our biggest demographic.
There's
they are.
The brutal honesty, pretty successful with the ladies.
Oh, it works?
It's refreshing in this day and age to be like, nope, here's the thing. Not going to do this. Probably not going to do this. This will upset you. I'm not going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And laying that out there from the beginning is kind of
Because then they're like, I'm going to change him.
Well, that can happen.
Yeah.
That can happen.
He's going to want me.
This is not true of anyone that I have ever dated that might be listening to this.
Okay.
But theoretically, here's a quandary that I would like to throw the group.
Oh,
okay. I love quandaries.
So you've been honest. Uh-huh. You've said your piece. You've said this is...
You've set your boundaries.
This is only going to go so far. Mm-hmm. It's while it's both enjoyable and fun. And then you start to get the vibe that the other person is hoping for more. Mm-hmm. And saying, oh, but I'm going to change him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, that hasn't happened to me. But if that happens, mm-hmm. you've been honest. Your choices are to keep going or then to do that really pedantic, well, I know what you're saying, but I know what you really think, and therefore I'm going to make decisions for you because I know what's best for you.
Oh, God.
Like,
that's never good.
But that's a weird situation to be in. Like, I feel like maybe this person is setting themselves up for a fall. All I can do is be honest with myself, but... Do it. At a certain point, when do you have to be responsible for
that? Are you making assumptions about that, or are they, is this
actually
true?
No, they're assumptions. They're always assumptions.
Okay,
because then I'm always right.
That's...
Oh!
Oh my God.
You make an ass out of you
as
and
Joseph,
me.
As Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dream Coach said, don't assume that all I say will come to pass. It's just that I have never been wrong before.
It sounds like you're just pushing people away. Just mm-hmm. to push them away. You don't get close to me because I got this going on. So that's that. And I'm never going to change. I'm mm-hmm. never going to change. That's mm-hmm. what it sounds like.
I think that's possible.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Nail on the head.
Think about this.
What are we even doing here?
What if you didn't have kids with your ex? Do you think, in your opinion, would you still have the same type of relationship with her?
No.
Not at all?
No, there would still be a relationship, and I think there would still be a friendship, but it wouldn't be to this to this level. Mm-hmm. I know that it took a lot to get over what was happening at the time, mm-hmm. and I did that because I wanted things to be right for them and for the family. If I didn't have that impulse, I might still be an angry, bitter man.
Mm. That's not a good look.
I've been dating this chick. Well, I was.
She's a young.
She's 24. Lady. I've ventured into that dating pool, and it's kind of hard to get out of, honestly. Have you dated younger, like beyond 10 years?
Here's what I have found.
Oh, here we go.
With my parameters.
Right.
Being such that they are. Well, like, what that means is
in the contract.
The two available pools are 35 plus divorce.
With kids.
Or 24, 25, 26, clock not yet ticking.
Okay.
But 28 to 34.
Forget about it.
Bad idea.
And there's, hate mail, but I'm not even going to say it.
Say it.
I'll tell you later. But
preach, Jeremy.
40-year-old women, I mean, because I got a lot of shit from, why are you dating a 24-year-old or whatever? I mean, and this makes me sound shallow, and I'm really not, because I've dated a 41-year-old and a 24-year-old. But a lot of the dating pool as far as 40 to 35, mm-hmm. there's a lot of baggage, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of baggage. Mm. And I'm pointing to my eye, Radio Land. I mean, because they just don't.
They have wrinkles, folks. He doesn't.
They
like
look
it.
Like shit. Honestly,
so he's
that's what I'm
shallow.
Saying. I'm not shallow, but I'm going to admit I like an attractive woman.
Yeah.
Dating pool wise, it's like I don't mind kids. To be on the polar opposite of Rob's experience, me not having kids, I dated a woman with two kids who I never met, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other lame ass dating websites or whatever that I've seen, it's like you have to be cool with my kids. It's like I don't want to meet your kids, and it's not that I'm not cool with kids. It's that. If we're dating, I don't want to know your kid. What about you?
The rule we set was it's got to be a serious, mm-hmm. serious thing. Serious for 3 months before it's ever mentioned to the kids. Because it just prevents the revolving door thing.
Right.
I have two nieces that I'm close with that are 15 and 12. So, and I see them every week. So at what point do I introduce them to somebody I'm dating as Uncle Awesome, as I'm called?
I mean, at 12 and 15 is a different deal than like 6 and 9. Mm. But, I just think it's hard for anybody to come to an environment with kids and not create some bonds.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that becomes an added pressure and or question when you decide where you are in the situation. Like, oh, yeah. I kind of really want to end this, but, oh, the kids love her and all that. Like, suddenly there's other people involved in this equation. And I think until you figure out your equation, don't enter other people into that decision.
That's one of the biggest turnoffs for me is that when I'm dating a guy who's got kids and they want to introduce me to their children
like right away?
Like within a month, maybe even 2 months.
Hell no.
It freaks
That's
me
what
the
I'm talking
fuck
about.
Out.
It should.
Yeah.
The only downside of that is that then there becomes a huge part of your life that the person you're with is
right.
separated from. And that's been hard. But when I've been, you know, with people in relationships that were really close, and then it was like this weird Chinese wall, like, I'm going into dad land, and the door's closed, and you can't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no crossover. Then it really does seem, you know, when you compartmentalize to that degree, it gets hard. The more serious a relationship gets, the harder that is. If you wait, then it becomes like meeting the parents when you're 15. Like, it's a big deal looming to meet the kid. So it's always a balancing act. But I think it's better to err on the side of waiting.
Okay, so straight up, you guys have never been out drinking and said, "Let's just fuck it. Let's explore again." Or, you know what I mean? You ever fucked around just drinking?
So have you ever had that carton of milk in the fridge that sat a little long and you smelled it and you were like, that's not a good idea.
Mm.
So what you're saying is, let's wait 6 months, a year, 2 years, pull that carton back out and see if it's a lot better.
It's cheese now.
I mean...
That's what you're suggesting.
No, I'm not suggesting that such as premeditated as that sounds. Just like we're out, or we went somewhere together, or we had a great time.
And you're comfy. And
we let our guard down a little bit.
Had a few drinks.
We
had drunk.
We know how this works, and we know what each other likes.
Yeah.
Why not just?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You gotta get yours. I mean, right? Beyond that, do you ever do that with? Because I know I do. Or have.
Yeah,
and
we know.
I don't have to reap the consequences, but whatever. You know, I still got mines. Not to sound like a dick.
If you have to say after a statement, not to sound like a dick.
Right.
Girls do it too. If you're asking me, is it a bad idea to hook up with people that you've dated and then
Just in the context of your ex-wife, the people you've dated is kind of a different animal because
that
can literally be, we just got drunk and fucked and I don't, who are you again? Mm-hmm. But with your ex,
that's why it would be a bad idea because that's not someone you can, I don't think you should randomly hook up with anyone that you can't disappear from.
That's what it's like a different,
so
does that world exist where you can be, we're friends and we can change gears like that just on accident and then be cool with it.
I think that world does exist with certain people. It depends on their life situation. I don't know that with married people that can work because there's a whole lot of baggage there. But I think everybody's got those exes that, and maybe they were a more physical relationship than anything else in the beginning, but that you could go back to that.
I've dated this, seriously. She texted me out of the blue Sunday.
Wait,
hey,
is this
another different?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What is it with Jeremy?
You can never let anyone you date listen to this.
I know, right? Never.
You can't.
That's why you can never publicize this like on your Facebook page.
Well,
like,
we're not
tune in for the new
That's
podcast. Because everyone's ashamed to publicize it.
That's the first thing that has to happen. Is
if your podcast is a dirty little secret, you're going to have real publicity problems, right? The Red Line Therapist or This Never Happened.
Dating's a pain in the ass.
It is a pain.
And serial dating, as far as let's explore.
It sucks.
Like, what you know, maybe you've done it. I have not. I stay away from it.
I would go on an infinite string of the first three days.
Not me.
I love the first 3 days.
I see,
yeah.
To me, I'm
yeah,
the polar opposite. Where to me, that's a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, because it's
but
getting
really
to know
not.
Someone and, like, getting the exciting exploration time of, like, ooh, what's the potential here and the butterflies and all that stuff. That's the fun
and
part
the getting
of
to know,
dating.
Because that's when you get to put on your bullshit best self.
You
like,
said
after 3 days, that facade falls, but you can still play.
Yeah.
That.
Right.
I had a divorce friend, again, because I'm
the
guru of divorce.
Right.
A recently divorced guy who was seeing somebody, and then it got a little awkward, as relationships do. Like, they got a little tense, and he was just like, I don't want to do this. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make me a shitty person? Because I'm only a month into this, and I'm already throwing out my hands. And I'm like, no, you've done the long-term pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that's worth suffering through all the stuff. You don't have to do the suffering through anymore. If it's not fun,
no.
and that's not what you're looking for, then that's fine. And he's like, well, does that make me just a shallow person? I was like, what if you're just collecting fireflies? That's okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome short-term experiences that are interesting with a fascinating person, and then bless and release and move on.
Do you see yourself living this way for the rest of your life? Like in this sort of dating who you date for, you know, whatever the shelf life is, and then keeping your relationship with your wife? Or is it something where the kids graduate and are going off to college? Is that something that can change for you? Do you see a relationship with your wife changing?
I would say I am open to any possibility. I don't have like a locked down, definite, like, this is the way that this picture is going to look.
Right.
Do we cover her dating?
We're not allowed.
We cut that.
Oh.
I mean.
How you feel about it.
Well, but I can't do that without revealing details about someone's life that isn't here to represent themselves.
Well, I'm not asking about, we're talking about how you feel about what somebody else is doing. I don't want to know what she's doing.
If she was.
Went on a date.
I would be very happy if she was happy. And if that involved dating someone else.
Very Disney answer.
No, but if that involved dating someone else, I would be fine.
Now, what about your kids? If they were to date somebody in your situation, how would you advise them? I'm talking about later, asshole.
Don't date a 42-year-old when you're 9. No, I would say absolutely not. Emotionally unavailable, damaged goods, run away. So it's just, like, it makes me wonder it doesn't concern me, but it makes me wonder what their view of marriage is.
Right.
Because, like, for me, my parents were still together. Marriage is the commitment that you made. You stayed together. Right. You worked it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And divorce was the evil enemy.
Right.
And, you know, for my ex-wife, I don't want to talk for her, but divorce helped a lot of things when it finally happened in their family. And so it wasn't the evil empire that I thought it was.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a way healthier relationship than just about any of their friends' parents who are married or not married.
Right.
For right now, I say, when there's a tornado bearing down on Dallas, I know I'm going to my daughter's school. I don't want anything that's going to make me have a moment of question or doubt in that situation. But yet there are people that I care enough about that I say, you know what? You should be where this guy goes to. And that can't be me. And I realize that that means I'm probably missing out on some incredible opportunities with some incredible people.
Yeah, going back to what we talked about, it's like, when do you let yourself allow that to happen?
You keep those walls up until they fall.
But, I mean, are you keeping them up? Are you allowing them to fall?
It's got to be a pretty strong push from the other side.
Ooh.
I don't imagine that there is that person for you right now.
Oh, my God.
I think the walls are too thick. I don't imagine that would be.
That's your walls.
I wrote a poem in college that I can't remember rest of.
Yeah.
The one line was.
It was genius.
Let's just dance between these walls. Like, you got yours. I've got mine. Nobody's budging right now. And you know what? For now, I'm okay.
That's what works for you.
Is there a chance that that's going to become wildly hollow for me at some point in time?
When your kids start.
I'm going to listen back to this podcast in 10 years and go, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be 50-something.
Luckily, I'm not getting any poorer.
Right.
And this is Dallas.
Do you give the same advice to your friends as you would, I don't know, if you're sharing with us? Like, yes, being friends with your exes is awesome. Or do you tell them to move on?
If you're being friends with your ex because this is a person who knows you really well and can give you some straight shit, like, no one will give you a more honest opinion than someone who is not ever going to try to sleep with you. Seriously,
someone that can walk in,
that's why women have gay friends, because they're the only ones that say, never wear those jeans again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, an ex will do that. But if you're friends with your ex so you can stay in there and continue to win points or look better, or then you're still trying to rewrite the past. And that's the problem. Like, if you're not trying to rewrite the past and you're just moving forward, then I think you should absolutely be friends with your ex, because they know you. The only chance for a better future is when you give up on a better past. But you say he's just
a friend. Okay, so we do have a tweet tonight from John, who says, my ex acts like we dated for years when we only dated for 2 weeks.
I'm familiar with this
phenomenon.
People like to overaggrandize their role in your life because it helps them square that with the role you had in their life. There's probably very little to be gained from riding that ship. If that's what she needs and it's not hurting you, bringing her to task for that what do you gain?
If you want a booty call, that's probably the
first one. Speed dial.
The first one.
No.
No.
If she has feelings for you, and she made the relationship bigger than it is, and then you're gonna be hooking up with her, that's just the recipe for like you're getting your tire slashed and a brick thrown through your window. I mean, you're messing with people's emotions.
A girl can text a guy at any time, mm-hmm. and he's gonna be like, whether he's able to follow through with it or not, he's gonna feel awesome. But yeah. if a girl gets a text at 2:22 p.m. Mm-hmm. from a guy she hasn't heard of in
what
2 months,
what are you doing right now?
You asshole! You just texted me because you're drunk and you want sex.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas a guy would say the exact same sentence and go, "You just texted me because you want sex."
Here's a great question: how does the guy respond to the booty call if she's an ex?
You say no.
What gets you further as far as...
This is going to be one of the things I'll regret.
It depends on the ex. Like, if the ex is, like, the cool girl who's like, let's just hook up and, like, reduces and that's it. If
Danger.
There is any inkling that she has any kind of feeling for you and she wants more and you know deep down she does, but maybe the sex is just so damn good and you don't care, you need to say no because it's going to create more problems.
Well, and you know the minute the phone call comes, you have that inner voice that is like,
yes.
she wants something else,
yes.
and this is a bad idea. And then it's like, how strong is that voice versus the other voice?
Yes.
Now, my question to you is, if Blake, even though I wanted to have this happen, as far as I know how this is going to end, but at least
mm-hmm.
I get to go have sex with
yeah.
my ex-girlfriend. If I say no, does that change her mind? Does the mind work like that as far as you want more what you can't have, as far as... Like,
are you saying, is it better for me to just go ahead and say yes to the booty call so as not to escalate things in her mind? Are you looking for permission from the psychologist to say yes
no.
to the booty call?
No, I'm thinking
of her. If I say no, she'll overestimate how much I value her.
No.
It's better if I just go ahead and get this over.
I'm going to reverse that and say, if I say no now, will that make more booty calls happen later?
Okay, which I think is a distinct possibility.
Yeah. So we actually have a tweet right now from Josh. She dumped me because she cheated on me. 2 weeks later, sex, sex, sex. Public beach, friend's driveway, and lots of oral.
Oh!
Guilt!
Let me jump in right in on this. When I caught my wife cheating on me, the sex went through the fucking roof. And I can tell you exactly why, is because what Rob said. Guilt and sort of a renewed whatever. It's like, wow, I fucked up. Let me make this right. Let me try to speak his language. I mean, talk about porn star fucking sex. Shit that never happened in the 10 years we were together was going on.
Wow.
The only advice I can give you is run like hell, especially if you weren't married. It's not fucking worth it. Unless you have that ability to turn that switch off that guys have in their head to just be looking at her one day and then, wow, you fucked another guy when we were married. I mean, you know, it's like, and it comes out of nowhere. You don't even want to think it, but it comes out of nowhere and you think it and you have to actually sit there and endure that. It's not worth it.
The other thing I would say on the guilt side, the motivator, is that women have learned probably absolutely correctly that the easiest way to distract a man is with sex. So when the Wizard of Oz is there behind the curtain going, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Look, boobs. Look, come here, look at this. Oh, I want to do this. I'm going to have oral sex in a friend's driveway, whatever. Like, they know that's the way to distract a man from the truth. And it's true that we're very simple, not smart creatures. It probably works 99% of the time. Don't be fooled, Josh. Mm. It's guilt. Now, stick around for a little while and read the spoils. Sure, but don't be fooled.
So Spencer, our friend from Seattle, recently started talking to an ex again after several years. So his romantic experience, he says, is very limited. He had one long-distance relationship, and that was sort of his longest relationship as a teenager, but he still really cares about her. So his question is, it got him wondering, do those feelings ever fully go away?
Yes.
And then also, and this might be more to Shantae, do you think there are people to whom we are inexplicably drawn, and why do you think that is?
Spencer, let me just sum it up real quick. The second you start dating somebody you care about and or have sex with them, you won't give a shit about this chick. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I would beg to differ. Here's what I would say. to you, Spencer, is that we do not have relationships with people. We have relationships with our idea of those people.
Oh, Swami Rao.
Your idea of this person, idealized as it may be, is with a fixed point in time, seven mm-hmm. or several years ago. And you will always have feelings for that idealized, some would say fictionalized, person that existed at that moment in time for them and for you. There is not a direct connection between that person and the person that exists now.
Right.
So, I think you need to evaluate the new opportunity as a new person. A new person you have history with, but it's not the same person. Because first of all, it's never the actual picture. We never have an actual picture of the person we're with.
Right.
We have our...
Which you create
them to be.
Right, exactly.
Create them
right,
to be.
Yeah.
Then with the benefit of history, that gets changed and aggrandized and altered even more. Mm-hmm. So I would say you will always have fiction for, or always have feelings for that ideal that was. There's very little connection between that ideal and reality. There may be an opportunity for a new reality with a new person. Just realize that's a different person than who that was and a different person than who you thought that was.
If I may
Does
say,
that make sense?
Yes,
that's
that
the deep
sense.
Way of saying exactly what I just said. Because
yes.
coming
that's
out of my
true.
Divorce, I didn't ever really fully get over that until I started experiencing other women. It's like until you shift that emotional focus onto somebody else, as unhealthy as that situation may be, at least it gets you out of this unhealthy situation. It's like...
Because wallowing in what was and never will be, where's that going to take you? It's
right.
not going to bring you any farther. All you're going to do is just be miserable. And that's the one thing, too, you have to be careful about with being friends with your ex, is that you may potentially be cutting yourself off from potential relationships because you're kind of comfortable in this little bubble that you've created, and so then you get a little too comfortable, and then you're not pushing yourself to kind of get out there and maybe create some new relationships.
If you want it to happen, you got to find yourself with a leap button. Whatever happened in the past is the past. It's over. You
yeah.
got to start fresh.
Don't force it, but let it.
The greatest advice my father ever gave me with regards to relationships, and this is a man who's been married for now 51 years, is you're never in love with one person your whole life. You're re-falling in love with someone all the time. That's either the same person or someone else, but it's always something new. And at a certain point, you go, okay, we got enough water under the bridge that there's enough, you know, shared history that it is worth re-finding this thing and starting something new from here, or we've got enough water under the bridge and enough problems that it's not worth it, and I'm going to start something new
mm-hmm.
with somebody else. But it's never going to be this thing that lasts forever and sustaining. It's always going to be a changing thing,
evolving.
And you have to decide,
yeah,
like,
fluid.
Is it going to evolve with this person, or is
right.
it going to evolve with somebody
right.
else? So, Spencer, you're not the same person that had feelings for that person a long time ago. She's not the same person that had those feelings. You can always have a soft spot in your heart for what that was, but know that whatever else comes is going to be something different and something new.
Hey, folks, it's Allie, and we're going to do the Hollyweird gossip. Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow are getting a divorce. Lots of cheating rumors going on both sides. He might still be in love with an ex. Fashion girl that is skinnier than Gwyneth Paltrow, my sources say. And Gwyneth has been hooking up with some lawyers and some regular citizens out there. Also, some happy news, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are preggo and engaged. Congratulations. Dun-dun-dun-dun! That's Allison. Hollyweird gossip.
That's going to be a pretty baby.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
Can we talk? Yeah.
Tall.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Well,
be
maybe not tall.
Gorgeous, but, yeah.
But they'll balance each other.
Well,
out.
That's what... So my mom is 5'4", my dad's 6'4", I'm 5'9".
And this is what we call the end, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time with Joel McDonald talking about how to keep the passion alive in long-term relationships. What does that even mean? Thank you so much, Rob McCallum, for joining us. I've learned so much. So much. Can I get a so much? So much. Thanks. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Podomatic and iTunes. Because you never know when the next episode's coming out, right? Let's be real. Working on it. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and tell all your friends about us. Even if you have to say you read it on a bathroom wall. Until next time, love, sex, wine.
Love, sex, wine.
Bye!
Well, really, sex and wine. Love happens, that's what
they're doing. Oh, my God. Bitter Jericho.
Here we go.